You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Three bells, everybody. What's going on? Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We absolutely appreciate you. We have covered a lot of ground today, including the Mark Cuban national anthem issue. Apparently, Mark Cuban had not been playing the national anthem from the start of the season. He made the decision back in November, hadn't been playing it. Somebody finally asked him about it yesterday, and he acknowledged, yeah, we're not playing the anthem. It doesn't represent everybody. The league has since come down and said, no, as a league, we play the national anthem before games. And I think that is the absolute right decision. And Cuban will start playing the national anthem effective immediately.
And I think it's probably league-wide. It's probably a smart decision. You're avoiding a controversy that you can easily avoid. But as I said earlier in the show, Mace, I'm not sure Mark Cuban didn't want the dialogue, didn't want the argument to talk about, you know, the issue had, think about it, when's the last time we brought up police brutality or social justice or injustice on the show? We haven't in a while.
Yeah, no, we haven't.
We are today.
Yeah.
And so, any player doesn't want or is not comfortable listening to the anthem or listening, you know, well, they can go into the locker room until it's over with.
Now, Michael, how do you feel about a player taking a knee for the national anthem?
This is America. You can peacefully protest any way you want to. So I got no problem with it. I would stand for the anthem because I appreciate what America's given me. But if someone else is not happy or not satisfied or wants more, that's totally within their rights.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting, and maybe John's right. Maybe this is what Cuban was going for all along, to reignite the dialogue about racial justice and systemic racism that exists in our country, and he wanted us to talk about it all again. Maybe that's the case.
Well, if he did, it worked.
It absolutely worked.
I think every radio show in the country talked about it today.
Yeah, yeah, no question. Joining us right now is ESPN NBA writer Tim Bontemps. Tim, how you doing, man?
Doing well, fellas. How are you guys?
Good, good.
We're doing great, Tim. And before we get into your MVP straw poll, do you think there's a possibility?
I didn't think you'd want to talk about that today. I'm really surprised.
Well, you know where we live. But do you agree with me? Do you think Mark Cuban kind of knew what he was doing when he did this? Do you think he doesn't mind the fact that this is top of mind and being discussed on talk shows like ours all over the place?
I don't know what to make of this whole thing. I mean, I guess that would have made more sense to me if he fought it at all, right?
Right.
Like, the league put out this statement, and then he said, yeah, they're right. So I don't know. The whole thing is just weird.
Yeah, it is odd.
I don't really get it.
It is odd. But now they kind of took the club out of his hands. They basically said everybody's going to play the anthem. So
yeah,
it got us all talking about
it. The whole thing was strange. The whole thing was strange.
All right, speaking of strange, Tim, we have a hard time understanding how LeBron James isn't everybody's choice for most valuable player. We see him game in and game out. He's unbelievable. I think there's a storyline. Here it is. We're the year of Tom Brady. It's a year that that you've got a guy who is 36 years old and still performing in his prime. To me, that's a story. Who else are people on?
Well, first of all, again, I'm very surprised that you guys don't think that LeBron should be the runaway winner.
Yes, I'm shocked.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
I'm very shocked. Listen, for people who haven't read it yet, the straw poll is up on ESPN.com, and as you guys have probably talked about, LeBron is a very slight leader over Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. It's actually the closest spread between first and second place in one of these straw polls that I've done. And over the past 4 or 5 years, I've done, I think, close to 10 of them. I've done at least 7 or 8. So the spread between those two guys is the closest it's been. And frankly, I started asking people for their votes last Friday, the day after, you know, one of the best wins of the year when the Lakers curb stomped the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic did not do much and LeBron was awesome. And I think that gave him a bit of a boost. So this vote might have even looked a lot different if I'd started asking, say, a week ago today, right? As opposed to a week ago Friday. But look, I think if you look at the race, to me, there's a bunch of guys who you can make a compelling case for. LeBron has been great. Could certainly make a case for him. Joel Embiid is playing as well as he ever has. I think he's arguably been the best player in the league this year, and they have the best record in the East. Steph Curry has been incredible for the Warriors. They do not have much around him at all, and that team has been competitive and won some games that they shouldn't have won because he's been unbelievable. Kevin Durant is having arguably the best recovery from an Achilles injury in the history of the sport. Right, that's an injury that's supposed to end careers, and he looks basically the same as he was before he got hurt.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard, the other guy in town, has been awesome for the Clippers, who have basically the same record as the Lakers. He's even playing in back-to-backs now, which I, frankly, after covering him in Toronto, I didn't think I'd ever see again. So I think it's a really deep and competitive field, and I think that LeBron currently has a nose out in front because, to your point, I think if there isn't a clear front runner, I think LeBron does kind of get put in front by default based off of what he did in the bubble, the fact that they won the title, the fact that he's still, you know, if not clearly the best player, arguably the best player at 36. I think all that stuff factors in, but I have a little different view in that I don't think it's necessarily a slam dunk that he wins, and I think it's going to be a really interesting competitive race down to the end, depending on how this season shakes out.
Does the fact, Tim, and we're talking to Tim Bontemps, does the fact that LeBron has played in every game when the other people you mentioned as a possibility haven't, that Embiid has missed games, Jokic has missed games, Steph has missed games, especially considering, Tim, that he's the leader, the active leader in minutes played in the whole league, does that factor in at all?
Absolutely. I think LeBron, I would say LeBron hasn't been quite as good on a per game basis, I say, like Embiid has, right? But look, the Lakers are one of the best teams in the league again. LeBron has been great, and LeBron is showing up every day. And that definitely matters. And look, like I said, I think if it's basically a tie, which I think right now it more or less is on the court, LeBron is going to win a tie. He's going to get the benefit of the doubt because of his track record, because of what it would mean for him to win another one, and the fact that he hasn't won one in a while. And while I think if you go through each of the years, you wouldn't really have a clear argument for him to be, you know, getting it in, say, 2013 or 14 or whatever, if you go through each of those seasons individually, the fact that he's been in the mix year after year after year and hasn't won it, it certainly puts him in a situation where when we get to a year like this one, where Giannis isn't going to win a third one in a row, almost certainly, and Luka Doncic was the hot name, and the Mavericks have been disappointing to start the year. When there isn't a clear, obvious choice sitting out there, you know, LeBron is going to get a lot of that default vote and say, well, LeBron is the best player, and he deserves it, and if there's not somebody better, I'm going to pick him. And certainly his play on the court and the Lakers' play on the court has, you know, certainly given plenty of merit to that argument as well.
So much of this, Tim Bontemps from ESPN is with us. So much of this is based on narrative. Like, what's a good story?
Yep.
What's the good story for LeBron?
Well, the story for LeBron is the one you laid out, right? He's 36 years old. He's played the most minutes in the league, you know, currently of any player in the league. And he's coming off his fourth championship, and he still is arguably the best player on the planet, right? Like, that's the case for him. And look, coming into the season, I think the general perception was for veteran players like LeBron, who was coming off the bubble, and obviously everything that went into winning that title, that this regular season would be sort of used, I don't want to say it's completely a ramp up to the playoffs, but I thought that he wouldn't be playing in both halves of back-to-backs, and he would be kind of, you know, cutting his minutes a little bit and kind of trying to manage himself a bit to get to the playoffs. And honestly, kind of the stunning thing about this season to me, given the condensed schedule and everything else that's going on, is that LeBron has played every game, that Kawhi Leonard suddenly is playing back-to-back, that, you know, Steph is playing 34, 35 minutes a game. Like, all these guys are basically playing like it would be a normal season in terms of minutes and workload, right? Which I give them a ton of credit for. And I think in LeBron's case, the fact that he's doing this at 36, I think that's a big part of why his candidacy is where it is right now, because he's putting up big numbers again and playing every game, and the Lakers are really good.
Tim Bontemps is with us. Tim, you'll be shocked to learn that both Mason and I think the Lakers are going back to the finals. Where we disagree is who they're going to meet if and when they get there. I'm convinced that Brooklyn has just too much talent, and even though they are a dumpster fire on defense right now, that just like LeBron, Bosch, and Wade figured it out eventually, just like Pierce, Garnett, and Rondo figured that out eventually, I'm banking on the fact that they're going to figure it out, and then when the playoffs start, nobody's going to beat them four times in a seven-game series. So I'm all in on Brooklyn. Mason says he's all in on the field. He's all in on anybody but Brooklyn. If you had to pick one of those two camps, Nets or the field, which way would you lean?
Definitely the field. And part of that is because I have no idea what's going to happen in the East playoffs. It's my job to monitor the Eastern Conference, and it is a fascinating mix of teams that all have pretty clear strengths and weaknesses. And I think, I really don't have a good sense of how it's going to go. But I am not of the belief that the Nets are going to get things figured out, in part because you mentioned that group in Miami, Wade, Bosch, and LeBron, and you mentioned the group in Boston with KG, Pierce, and Ray Allen. Those guys all accentuated the other skills and fit together in a way that this Nets group does not. They all amplify their individual skills, particularly on offense. They also amplify, particularly the guards, this team's disastrous situation defensively. Since the Harden trade, the Nets have the worst defense in the NBA.
Yeah, maybe ever.
Yes. And there has not been a team since the Lakers in 2000 or 2001, one or the other, I think it was 2000, when the Lakers were 22nd in defense and then stormed through the playoffs, that has been outside the top 11 in defensive efficiency. And I think you guys would agree that Laker team was 22nd in defensive efficiency, not because it was a bottom 10 defense on talent, but because that team, for a variety of reasons, basically took the regular season off, right? And then they showed up for the playoffs and played like they were capable of, and they annihilated everyone. This Nets team is not capable of playing good defense. And look, maybe they will just outscore everyone and win, but I just am not of the belief that you can be a true championship contending team, no matter how much offensive talent you have, when you're an absolute dumpster fire on defense. And I just don't see any realistic way that this team is going to be better than that at that end of the court.
All right. Hey, listen, Tim, thanks a lot for coming on. We appreciate it. Go LeBron. Make sure that straw poll goes the right way next time you do it, okay?
Hey, I think he'll take care of that on the court. But always good to catch up with you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, cool.
Thank you, Tim.
Tim Bontemps there. All right, coming up next, interesting conversation with Carl Ravitch took place on the Freddie and Fitzsimmons show, I believe, about how baseball needs to, quote-unquote, get with it. That is coming up next for you. Don't forget, we got Game of Games coming up for you, too, at 3:45. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, there you go, Tina Turner. She is a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame finalist, Hall of Fame nominee, and it's a great list. Tina Turner should absolutely be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, she's
Have you ever seen her live?
Yeah, and she's already in with Ike. But she's
Ike
not,
should be edited from that.
Yeah, but
Ike
she's not
ass.
In on her. So here's the ones. I think there are five that are absolute locks. Foo okay. Fighters,
yes.
Carole King,
100%.
Rage Against the Machine,
yes.
Tina Turner and Jay-Z. I think those five are locks.
No LL Cool J.
He could make it, but I don't know if he's a lock. You know, it's tough when Jay-Z is going in because you get compared to him. You know, he's Hank Aaron. He's basically going in almost unanimous, I would think.
If you go to the website, which is vote.rockhall.com. You can vote, and you can vote for up to five. So my five.
So those would be my five. Foo Fighters, Carole King, Jay-Z, Rage Against the Machine, and Tina Turner.
Okay, so Carole King's a must. You got to have Carole King because her album Tapestry stands the test of time.
I will tell you the one, the toughest one I had leaving out was the Go-Go's. I thought about the Go-Go's instead of Rage Against the Machine, but Rage Against the Machine's been doing it longer.
Yeah, I'm going to go, this is mine. I'm going to go Carole King, Tina Turner, Foo Fighters, Go-Go's, and Rage Against the Machine.
No Jay-Z.
No Jay-Z.
Wow.
It's his first time on the ballot.
Right, he's an icon. He's basically LeBron of music.
Yeah, he's tough. You're right. He's tough. Tough to leave him off. I just like to squeeze the Go-Go's in somehow.
You're one of those, huh, Mace? First
one of those what?
First time on the ballot, you can't put a guy in. Come on, Mace.
That's what I was just going to say. Is that like a baseball thing that applies to all?
Well, some of these people, Michael, have been on the ballot five times.
True.
Like Tina Turner's been on the ballot for four times.
It's ridiculous. She should have been in a long time ago.
So doesn't she deserve to be in?
Yes, of course. She should have been in a long time ago, decades ago.
So doesn't what ballot mean something?
Well, no, because when you are an automatic like a Hank Aaron, like a Ken Griffey, I mean, first ballot, second ballot, who cares?
You think Jay-Z is a first ballot guy?
Yeah, for Keith.
Yeah, I guess he should be. Yeah. He should be.
So he's got like 25 Grammys.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
So if you were voting in the Hall of Fame, you would say Peyton Manning, first ballot.
No, Peyton Manning's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Michael,
yeah,
I'm always shocked by that they're like, how did Hank Aaron not go into the Hall of Fame unanimously?
Willie Mays, how do you say no if you're a voter? How is that even possible?
Didn't Derek Jeter got one?
Mariano Rivera
left off one ballot.
No, Mariano Rivera is the only one to go in.
Yeah.
And then didn't Jeter follow him up, Michael?
I think they both unanimous? But some idiot said Ken Griffey Jr., not a Hall of Famer. How about that?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I'm not that guy. When it's obvious, it's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, John.
I was going to say the toughest ones to leave out for me were Mary J. Blige, Go-Go's, Devo, Chaka Khan, LL Cool J.
Why don't you like the Go-Go's?
I do like the Go-Go's.
Well, why don't you put them in?
Because who do I take out?
Aren't they the most iconic female band ever?
Well, who do I take out, Michael? Foo Fighters, Carole King, Jay-Z, Tina Turner.
The Foos.
Foo Fighters, that's Dave Grohl's band.
Foo Fighters
really
got to go in. Dave Grohl.
Rage Against the Machine is the one I might take out, Michael, to make room for the Go-Go's.
Yeah.
But the Go-Go's were a comet. They were only around for what, Mace? About 8 years?
Look, that's pretty long.
Yeah. Yeah, then they broke up. Belinda Carlisle went solo at one point.
Yeah. Right.
She used to date Mike Marshall, the baseball player, the outfielder for the Dodgers.
She's married to, I can't think of his name now. The guy who directed The Big Short. Who is that guy?
I don't know. Is she still married to him now?
Yeah, she's married to him now.
Oh, wow.
Who works with Will Ferrell?
Adam McKay?
Who's that?
Adam McKay?
No. God damn.
Morgan Mason. That's who she's married to. Morgan Mason.
Yeah,
okay, there you go. A director.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the guy you're thinking of. Most of those girls are married to like their second husbands now.
By the way, do you guys see how drunk Tom Brady was at the party?
Good for him.
Give him a break.
He could barely stand up. He looked like Mace on a weekend.
It looks like me on a weeknight, Michael. On a weeknight, it looks like me. Jay Roach is the name I was thinking of.
The guy she's married to is the son of James Mason, who's one of the great actors of all time.
Yeah, he was a good actor.
He's the guy that's in The Verdict up against Paul Newman.
Oh, nice.
George said, Jorge says that Brady got drunk on avocado tequilas.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. So one day he allowed himself carbs.
Yeah, exactly.
That one shot of wheatgrass really did him in.
That, I'll tell you, throwing that Lombardi trophy from one boat to another.
How about that?
That made me nervous.
No, because it fell in the water. It's just going to
be
wet.
By the way, Mace, you're totally confused. Jay Roach is married to Susanna Hoffs, the lead singer of the Bangles.
There you go.
Yeah.
I really got that twisted.
Right.
I was kind of on the right track.
Yeah, all those
girls. Director married to a woman
look the
who
same,
is a singer of a
all
band.
All the girl bands look the same, right, Mace?
Yeah, apparently.
It's misogynist.
To me, they do. All right.
What's the Carl Ravage thing?
Okay, so Carl Ravage appeared on the Freddie and Fitzsimmons show, and one of the things he talked about was that baseball, and remember, he's a rugged traditionalist, right? I mean, he's a guy that's been doing Baseball Tonight for a long time. And one of the things he said is that baseball should care more about growing the game than losing its older fans.
I would be less worried about losing the baseball fan that's been with me, because if they profess to love baseball, well, then they're not going anywhere.
Right.
I'm more interested in growing the game and attracting new fans. I don't think that a universal DH or the occasional seven-inning doubleheader are going to offend the baseball fan. But if there are ways to get more interest in the game, perhaps you can start to cultivate the next generation of baseball fans. And I'd be honest, I grow a little tired of those that are stuck in their ways. I think when you're not changing and evolving, you're losing.
Yeah, he says the Major League Baseball has got to compete with both the NFL and the NBA.
Yep.
The field is competitive as hell, man. The NFL ain't going anywhere. The NBA's popularity is pretty good. You've got to do things to, and again, create new audience for your sport, because the old audience is getting smaller. They're getting older. They're not around as much anymore. And you got to figure out a way to appeal to the next generation.
And some of the things they're doing, now, Universal DH, the players' union rejected just because they're the players' union and they're just disagreeable about everything. But they did allow a couple of these things. Seven-inning doubleheaders, which I think are really cool. When I was in the minor leagues working for the Toledo Mudhens in the International League, they had seven-inning doubleheaders. They worked just fine. You shouldn't have nine-inning doubleheaders. It's too much. They're now allowing that situation where you go to extra innings and you start with a runner at second base. To me, that's unbelievably exciting. As a baseball fan for years, I thought I was going to hate it. In 10, instead, I totally loved it. The one thing I don't get, and John, you don't get, I should say, is deadening the baseball, which is reportedly what they're going to do this year. They're six straight years, or five of the last 6 years, they've broken the record for most home runs as a game. And you don't get deadening the baseball.
Mace, chicks dig the long ball. Remember that campaign? Everybody loves home runs. Why would you want fewer home runs?
So here's the thing. The reason I'm for it is that I think it will lead to more action on the base paths. Home runs are great. Home runs are fun. But when the game is reduced to strikeout or home run, I think it loses some excitement. We anticipate home runs because we know that's what everybody's trying to hit. To me, more doubles off the wall, more action on the base paths, more triples, more stealing bases, all those things are positive. To get action on the base paths as opposed to just sitting and waiting for somebody to hit a home run. Because that's what guys are doing. They're just going to the plate, they're getting three swings from their heels, and they're trying to hit the ball yard, and when they don't, they just strike out. And for me, that's not action. There's not action out there.
Right, but wait, Mace, wouldn't it be smarter? Okay, so there's different ways to get what you want.
Okay.
I would argue that deadening the baseball is not one of them. For example, I've talked to enough baseball people where I think they should get rid of the shift, the defensive shift.
I'm in complete agreement. The shift takes so much excitement out of the game.
Right. You want balls to go into the gaps. Just
yes.
Tell those guys that they've got to stay in a certain spot.
What about
spot.
Outfield? You're talking about infield shifts. Outfield shifts are okay. They've always been there.
Yeah, infield shifts. I'm talking about like having seven guys on the right side of the infield,
right,
for Max
correct.
Muncy.
Yeah, bringing in an outfielder and putting him at second base along with the second base, all that stuff.
Right.
Ridiculous.
I mean, that's a way to get things moving. You and I both love, and we didn't think we would, sticking a guy on second base at the start of extra innings.
It turned out to be like the most dramatic thing in the world.
And how about when a reliever comes in, he after warming up for 20 minutes, he doesn't have to throw another eight pitches.
No, you have to face three batters now, Mike.
He's talking about warming up. Michael, they do that because they want him to get used to the mound.
Oh, please. He's been on the mound a million times. Come
no,
on.
No, but the mound in the bullpen is different
so
than the
what?
Mound on the field.
Michael, all people, given the fact that you're an athlete, mm-hmm. should know that the situation is different. Pitching out on the mound is different.
Also,
but, Michael, eight pitches, I agree with you. Eight pitches is probably extreme.
You know what?
I think you could do it in four.
You know what that's akin to, Mace? That's like, okay, come off the bench for a basketball game. Why don't you go out there and take four shots? Get used to the rim, and then we'll resume play. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, different game. I don't have a problem with those eight pitches
throws. Why? You want to see a guy there throw eight warm-up pitches? Hey, come on,
well,
play ball.
You know, everybody thought it'd be the end of the world if you did this has-to-stay-in-for-three-batters thing like they did last year. It was actually
worked
pretty
fine.
Good.
Right.
Worked
totally fine.
So
yeah.
You come out of the bullpen, batter up. Let's go. Throw the first pitch.
Well, one thing, one thing, Mace, that I will say is Michael and I talk a lot of time about if we were put in charge of the NBA one day, we would do a lot of things.
I'll tell you what. Let's talk about that next because there is some stuff, too. 877-710-ESPN. If you want to jump in, Michael Thompson's hanging out. Michael's going to play Game of Games in 15 minutes.
I got to win
one. Mace in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, I never said I wouldn't take vacation. I announced my New Year's resolution was I won't take any vacation until February. And here
you
we
made
are.
It, you February. Made it almost 5 weeks. I think you came back on February 6th or January 6th.
January 6th. Isn't that about 6 weeks?
And no. Today's the 10th of February. You made it. You didn't even make it 5 weeks.
5 weeks, yeah. No, I said I wouldn't take a vacation.
Four and change.
Here's the thing. I'm a guy that needs more vacation than everybody else.
Why?
Because I grind my gears a lot, Michael. I grind on this show.
You only have one job. Ireland's got three.
Yeah, but I mean, he gets paid separately. I can't be responsible for John's other jobs.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting.
This is the life he has chosen.
Yeah. He works three times harder than you, and he doesn't
look.
I only take the
vacation days that I have been given in my contract, and I intend to use every
so
one of them if it kills me.
You believe in load management.
I do. I believe in load management. Absolutely. I'm Anthony Davis. John's LeBron.
Well, where are you going on this vacation? Can you travel?
We rented a house out in Palm Springs.
Nice. Now, Mace, your mom lives in Palm Springs. Is Palm Desert less COVID restricted than LA County?
No, I would say more.
Okay.
Because people are older out there. You know, I think the median age in Palm Desert is like 106 or something.
Like when I went to Ojai, it was less COVID restricted. And when we went to Idaho, it was like not COVID restricted at all. And as we saw at the Super Bowl, Florida looks like it's just a fun house.
Oh, yeah. Florida, they're just doing whatever. Florida, they're just playing. I mean, they've got the third highest death rate, and they're still just screw it.
So, Michael, that story you read earlier with Cuomo, are they talking about letting people back in indoor events, like inside Madison Square Garden?
Restaurants are now – you're allowed to go inside restaurants in New York.
Yeah, like I think like 10, 12, 15, maybe 15% of capacity.
Good.
And they're starting to let
them back
progress. In. Yes. So we're heading in the right direction.
All right, Mace, I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
Adam in Studio City's on the line. Hey, Adam, what are you doing, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Just taking a walk.
Hi, Adam.
Hey, so I just wanted to point out that Carl's right. Mace was objecting to all these changes last year and has come around. So if he can come around, all the older people will come around. I'm a huge Lakers-Dodgers fan, but definitely invested more of my time into the Dodgers. I'm younger. I'm in my mid-20s when the Lakers were sucking. So hopefully – you know, people will just come around to the new changes.
Hey, Adam, let me ask you something. Michael and I have an idea, and I wonder if somebody your age would be supportive of it. We want to get rid of instant replay in the NBA until the final 2 minutes of the game.
Please.
You'd be okay with that?
Please.
If the Lakers got screwed on calls. So
honestly, totally fine.
Yeah, it speeds up the game.
Yeah.
Can I just say one last thing?
Yeah.
So I actually met John and Michael in Memphis on a road trip my friends do every year to go see the Lakers, and I love the addition of Michael the last couple of days on the show.
Thank you.
It actually reminds me of Kramer in Seinfeld, to be honest.
You don't know how big of a compliment that is to Michael.
That's right.
Hey, Adam, did you go to – when you were in Memphis, did you go to Gus's Fried Chicken?
Oh.
We did. I posted a picture, and Michael retweeted at us. He told us we were nuts.
Oh, yeah.
I actually DM'd it to Mason – to share with him and share with you, but he hasn't read it yet.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I get a lot of those. I try to respond. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thanks,
man. Appreciate
Adam.
It.
Appreciate you listening.
Yeah, now what changes?
Let's talk.
I love Kramer. Let's talk about those changes in the NBA. Let's do it.
What do you want?
I'd get rid of the defensive 3 seconds. There's no reason to have that stupid rule.
Completely agree.
100%.
Yeah, I would give them less timeouts. Now, I know they need TV timeouts, but I find them have given 5 timeouts instead of 7. because there's so much stoppages of play anyway.
I'm for that.
Let's see. What else would I get rid of?
You would, Michael, I think you would add a four-point line.
Yes, I would add a four-point arc from 33 feet out.
That's fantastic.
All right, now, Michael, what about this? Tell me if this is too extreme. This is something Mason brought up yesterday. The limit right now is once you get pet your sixth team foul, the other team shoots free throws.
I want to move that to
10.
Yeah,
like
I like
do
that.
In college.
Yes, I like that because it keeps the game flowing instead of free throws. Free throws are exciting when the game's on the line the last couple of minutes, but until the middle of the game, they're boring.
Yeah, but keep the game flowing, man. There's nothing. The grinding of the game is rough.
And like I say, me and Alan always talk about this, and Phil Jackson agrees. Please get rid of the foul out rule.
Keep our stars in the game, Mason.
Keep our stars on the floor. How frustrating is it?
Instances where a big star
have you ever
fouls
gone
out.
To
where, what? Are, how many times does the biggest star foul out? Like has LeBron fouled out of a game?
No, he's smart about it.
Has Anthony Davis fouled out?
Yeah,
of a game
he's
this year?
He's been in some foul trouble. You got to take him off the floor. He's picked up two quick fouls. Yes, I hate that because people pay to come see the main stars sell the game. Keep him on the floor.
That's a strategy. That's a strategy.
That's like taking. You know what? Let's take Mahomes out for the next 15 minutes in this football game. What sense does that make?
You always pull weird examples from other sports. Obviously, it's a different sport.
True, but
it's a different scenario. Hey, I wanted to bring this up while I got a chance, since I'm going on vacation tomorrow. Now, since Morales said it, everybody knows it. There were a lot of commercials on the Super Bowl for this thing called Paramount Plus. So
yeah,
I looked it up.
It's
$55.99 per year. Now
what?
I am done paying for this. I'm not paying $4.99 for Peacock. I'm not paying $55.99 a year for Paramount Plus. Stop putting these things out. I'm not going to buy them all. Right now, if you look at your bill, so first of all, most people are on cable, or John, you're on DirecTV, right?
Right.
So on top of that, Netflix is $13.99. Prime, which we use for other stuff, but we also watch stuff on, is $9.99 a month, if you figure it in that. The Disney bundle, which I love, which I can't quite figure out how to get Hulu in, Hulu, Disney Plus, ESPN Plus is $12.99. Apple Plus is $9.99. HBO Max is $14.99. Paramount Plus wants $55.99 a year, and Peacock wants $4.99 a month. That is just too much. That's like adding up to as much as my cable bill.
Completely agree. Like $54 for a streaming service. What the
I don't
heck?
Even know what they do. I know they have Beavis and Butthead. I know they're reviving that, but what else am I going to get? Oh, the other thing, John, the Godfather movies will only be available on Paramount Plus. They won't show them on AMC anymore.
So I'll go buy them on a DVD.
Yeah, just rent it on iTunes. Buy it on iTunes. Then you got it all the time. Yeah, I just think it's out of control now, the number of streaming services there are. And I'm not going to get suckered into buying more of them. They tried to get me to buy CBS All Access. Now they turned it into Paramount Plus, and I'm still not doing it. Take your good fight and shove it.
Yeah, you got too much stuff to watch there. Just stick to the Hallmark channel base. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Or just watch it during vacation or whatever you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever I'm doing. All right, coming up next. Anyway, that's my little rant. Coming up next for you is Game of Games. Michael's going to play.
Yes.
It is Lindsay's game today. Mm-hmm. And so far in the month, I'm actually doing extraordinarily well. It is Mason 3, Ireland 3, Jorge 1, and Lindsay yet to scratch, as Stu Lance would say. And Lindsay, it's your game today, so you cannot win. That's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Again, Game of Games, and it is brought to you by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They are our plumber. They want to be yours, too. Call 1-800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. All right. So for the first time in a while, I am competitive in this month of February, although I'm going on vacation.
Yeah,
for a few
days. You always take yourself out because you never go a whole month without taking days off.
It definitely hurt me. In the meantime, it's Lindsay's game today, and it is me, Ireland, and Michael Thompson playing. Lindsay, what is this game called?
This is a game of Name That Tune TV show themes.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay.
I tried doing this a long time ago with movies, and you guys were horrible at it. So I figured I would pick some very popular TV shows and see who can get to the buzzer first.
Okay.
Okay. All right, here. So, okay, we'll start with number one here. Your name is your buzzer. So whoever knows it, guess it. And, you know, the usual.
Michael.
Mason.
Michael.
That's Michael. He was first.
Sopranos.
That is correct, Michael. Damn. Probably too easy.
That's okay. It's just a speed game now.
Yeah, Michael has a little advantage because he's in studio.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought there is no advantage. That's what you always tell me.
We have, well, in studio, there clearly is.
Yeah, so Michael. So, may Mace, win this,
you and I, yeah,
disputed.
Mace, you and I got to jump the gun a little
bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Come on, George. Let's beat him. Let's whoop him, George.
All right, number two.
Michael.
Mason. Yeah.
He's quick. He's quick.
Yeah, he's
what
fast.
Is it, Michael?
Sanford and Son.
That is correct.
Man, I didn't even hear a chord
that
before
is right
he said
in Michael's
Michael.
Wheelhouse.
I'm
yeah.
addicted to that show.
Yeah.
Yep, he
that's
loves that
like
show.
How I am with Name That Tune, I feel like. I can always get it on like the first one. All right, next one. Number three.
Mason.
Mace.
That is The Wire.
It is. Good job, Mace. Thought that one was going to be an Ireland one. Isn't that like your favorite show ever?
It's very good. Yeah, it's
great
good.
One.
So
great
did,
one.
The interesting thing about the theme song to The Wire, it's a song called Way Down in the Hole, and it's five different versions. They change the singer every year. So there are five different theme songs to The Wire. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Interesting. All right. Number four.
Mike Johnson.
That one was close. Jorge, what do you think?
I got him, Jorge.
Yeah, it was Michael.
Yep.
I think it was Michael.
Wait a minute.
One of my favorite shows, The Golden Girls.
All right, man. Michael just cleaned
we
up
all
this
rang
one.
In.
Yeah, we all rang in right away.
Time.
I can't ring in quicker than that. That's Michael right. has too much of an advantage.
Well, M is quicker to say than John.
All right.
There's no advantage. Number five.
John.
What is it? What you got?
Is it me?
Yeah.
Oh, I am so surprised. Play it again. Wait, do I have to guess?
No,
you can't play it again.
No.
I will say Cheers.
Nope.
No.
Michael.
Cheers.
Michael.
Michael.
The Office.
It is The Office.
Michael is crushing us.
Cleaning up. He's got four.
I watch.
This Mace may be your first win ever, Michael.
Well, I'm not there yet, Mace.
All right. What is number six?
John. John.
What do you think? All
it's
right.
Full House.
It is. Good job. You're
full
finally
house.
On the board. Woohoo.
So and there's only one more, so Michael has locked this up.
Yeah.
Let's see. I've got three more, if you guys want to keep going.
Oh, yeah. Bring them on. I'm going to catch. I'm coming from behind. Let's go.
Oh, I sent you two other ones, Jorge. But we'll wait and see if you get those. Number seven. All right. Here we go.
John. John.
Yes.
That that is it's not the hills.
Three, two,
oh god.
Two,
one.
I know what it is.
Mason.
Mace.
It is The OC.
It
That's
is.
Exactly what it is.
All right, do we got the other two, Jorge? Can we play the other two? Okay.
Michael.
Yes. You're just going to get them all anyway, huh?
The Drew Carey Show.
Nope, that's not it.
No.
Oh, keep playing it. Keep playing it, Jorge.
Huh.
John.
What do you think?
That 70s show.
It is. Good job. I thought that was a little tougher. All right, we'll do this one last one, even though Michael's completely dominated this game.
Yep.
We'll do this last one for fun.
Michael.
Knew you'd get it.
Shaft.
Thought you'd get it quicker.
Shaft.
Thought you'd get it quicker.
That's right.
Is that what it is? It's Shaft?
Yep, it's Shaft. All right, next time I guess I got to make it a little bit harder or do it on a day when Michael's not playing.
So yeah, you got to do it on a day where there's nobody in studio.
Yeah, so Michael, we'll give you a half point.
Really? A half a win?
No, we'll give you a full point.
No, you get a full point.
You get a full point.
You mean you guys really couldn't hear him?
No, you just hear him quicker than us because we're on a Comrex.
Okay. Yeah, we're at home and you're right there.
Oh, well, wait a minute. I don't want this win, then. I take
no,
it.
No, you get the win. You get absolutely. Michael, I want you to have this win. I want you to.
When I try and use that defense, everybody tells me that I'm crabbing.
Well, you are crazy.
Yeah, there's nothing,
you are crazy.
There's nothing we can do about it, so you win. For driving in, that's your bonus.
Yeah,
hey,
that's what you get for driving in.
Michael.
Hey, what's the out time?
Oh, God, you won't pay any attention to it anyway. Michael, Jofan Buha, who covers the Lakers for The Athletic, just tweeted this. And it makes me wonder if the Lakers should change strategy. He says when the Lakers make more three-pointers than their opponent, they're 12-0. Mm-hmm. When they tie or make fewer threes, they're 7-6. Should they shoot more threes than they're attempting?
No, they're right on schedule. Around 35-43s a game. So they're doing fine. They don't have to adjust their...
But they're 12-0 when they make more, and 7-6 when they don't.
Well, just obviously they shot horrible the other night and still beat Oklahoma City. But just make more, shoot better threes. That's all. Better accuracy.
So
they now rank 11th.
Do we know if AD is playing tonight?
I'm seeing
here officially listed as questionable.
Yeah, we haven't heard yet.
Yeah, we don't know yet. We'll find out at 5:30.
Yeah.
And what about Caruso? Same thing?
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, I mean, obviously AD, but Caruso has been a very – that one lineup, John, that I always look for now is the one that you talked about with Kuzma, Montrez, LeBron, THT, and Caruso, right?
Right. That's the statistically the death lineup for the Lakers. Those guys five together have a plus-minus that's off the charts.
So does that mean that's their best lineup?
No, their best lineup's with AD, but that lineup, for whatever reason,
is that because they're playing against second stringers?
Correct.
There you go. Well,
hang on a second. Sedano wants to bump in. Hey, Sedano, what are you doing, man?
Hey, guys. So I wanted to chime in because Karl Anthony Towns is going to give it a go today and warm up pregame. So
hey,
I want an apology from Ireland to say that I was a bad faith negotiator.
This is such a load of crap by you. I can't even believe you walked into the Lion's Den. Fred VanVleet is putting up the best numbers of his career over the last 2 weeks. Since the day you traded for him, he has been an absolute monster.
Right.
How do you explain yourself?
But Karl Anthony Towns is going to go. And
yeah, Kattar's going to play.
He is an absolute monster. Right, he's going to warm up tonight and see if he can go.
What number pick was he in our draft?
He was 4.
Yeah, the 4th pick in the draft. And by the way, what's interesting, I texted George today. 2 bobos in the league who think I'm a moron tried to trade for Karl Anthony Towns today with stupid deals. They were trying to get Kat from me, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I've been waiting for the guy to play. There's no way I'm going to trade him off right now. What do you think, I'm an idiot? They do. They all think I'm stupid in this league, George. They all think I'm stupid.
You're going to win the league.
You are stupid. You guys are all in the league. The day he scored 56 points.
That's just bad timing. He's going to win the league now.
Wait a minute. If Mason owned a boat, that'd be the name of the boat. Bad timing.
So he's going to win the league. He got Chris Paul and Karl Anthony Towns. Michael, isn't that a good deal?
Yeah, sure is. Sounds good to me.
George, I will bet any amount of mythical money that what you just said does not happen, that Mason will not, quote-unquote, win the
league. Wait a minute. Karl Anthony Towns and Chris Paul. He got Fred VanVleet and Bojan Bogdanovic.
And, yeah. And Michael
Who got
Porter
the best
Jr.
of that deal?
And Michael Porter Jr.
Oh, and yes. Michael Porter Jr., yeah.
No, Sedano got the best of that deal, and there's no doubt in my mind about it. Matter of fact, Mace, you want to double down on that bad trade? I'll bet you $5,000 in mythical money Sedano wins that trade, that if we add up the total points from the day you made the trade until the end of the season, that Sedano will dwarf you.
Well, but the problem with that, I take the bet, except there are multiple categories. There's rebounds, there's blocks,
right, but
there's steals.
They all count for the same value,
if Mason makes the money and the top four make the money in the little Tyrant Trudell League, okay? And
right,
Michael
but
knows.
Are we arguing about who won the trade? Isn't there an easy way to determine that?
Yeah, but if I finish in the money, I'm not in the money right now. If I finish in the money because of the Karl Anthony Towns trade,
and Chris
that
Paul.
Should be the bet. Right. Or in the Chris Paul trade.
Right.
That should be the bet.
Wait a minute.
Exactly.
What is wrong with you two? The bet should be who won the trade, and you are
no,
in a league.
No, because the whole point
where we
of
can
making
tell
the
who
deal,
won the trade.
The whole point of making the deal for Mason, I told him, if you make this deal and
you'll
finish in the money.
Mason is a doofus in this league, and Sedano, you took advantage of him. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Michael, did I take advantage of him?
No, not at all.
Thank you.
No.
Michael, see?
He traded comrades.
He traded
Fred VanVleet the day he scored 56 points.
Yeah, but that is the smallest sample size in history.
Please.
Mace, why do you play if you don't know how to play?
I do know how to play. George is in last place. I'm in 6th place.
Right. Yeah. I've also had terrible injury issues. But yes, I am in last place. So I said, you know what? I'm going to trade my best assets for assets that I can use more longer term, right? Because it's a keeper league, Michael. So I can keep Fred VanVleet and Michael Porter Jr. and Bojan Bogdanovic if I want to. Because they're low-round draft picks originally when they were drafted in the league.
And so, listen to Fred VanVleet's line, and I know we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
10 points, 26 points, 9 points, 54 points, 11 points.
By the
he
way,
he scored 11 points after he scored 54.
You are tied for 6th place right now with the Tyrant Trudell. So there
nice.
You go. Now you can beat the Tyrant Trudell.
Down
and get
with
in the
Trudell.
Money.
All right, coming up next for you is the brand new afternoon show here on 710 ESPN. It is Sedano, LZ, and Cap. I will see you in a few days. Momo will be here in the meantime. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.